Hi everyone, welcome back to Wizards of Ecom. This is your host Naomi, and today I'm joined by Elizabeth Green. She is an awesome PPC strategist and founder of Jungler. Welcome to the show.
Thanks so much. I'm super glad to be back.
Super glad to have you back. This is your second time already on the show, which usually means that either the guest is super, super cool or the guest is extremely cool. So pick your favorite. Now, joking and serious things aside, right? I think today's topic is going to be about ACAS. We had the chance to speak about, like, in a few words about ACAS, and you brought up a really, really cool topic, which is like, are you willing to pay the piper? Which I thought, hey, this is such a great topic to talk about today. First off, do you mind explaining exactly what do you mean by that?
Yeah, basically, like, count the cost. Is it worth it? Mm-hmm. And I think we'll probably get into that. I think there's more than one way that things can be worth it. Meaning sometimes you tolerate a higher ACOS because it's improving your ranking, not to just say, hey, rank for this keyword, but because at the back end of that is more sales. So I think there's more than one way. You know, for one person, you have to be super profitable. That's not worth it. And that's okay. It's not, hey, you should tolerate X plus whatever you've decided is your targets because everyone should rank on keywords. Like, you know, you need them with everything. I think the more I get into it, the more my answers are like, it depends. Can I have more context? So that's kind of probably what I'll be saying a lot today. But hopefully giving people like a framework on how to ask the right questions. Cause I think that's probably some of the biggest things. When you see a spike in ACOS in an account, everyone's like, oh no, my ACOS is up, and there's ways to dig into it. But you know, kind of knowing the framework, how you should approach things, or a framework on like, is it worth it? Am I ranking? Do I need to worry about profits? Will, you know, help you determine the answer to that question for your business.
Yeah, most definitely. And I love that you already started, okay, understanding strategy. And the reason why I also have you on the show, besides being a badass, it's that I think that you're the nicest person who is talking very analytical. Which I adore. And like, how did she do it? And I also ask her, how did you manage? And she's like, oh, I'm just dealing with a lot of data. Yes, all right.
Yes.
So that's why. So first off, before starting and digging deep into what is ACOS, so everyone understands today's topic and what we are talking about, basically.
Yeah, I think that's a really good place to start because it's a division problem. Mm-hmm. And with a division problem, you know, you have two sides of the equation. And I think as we get deeper into this, you can start actually looking deeper into both sides of the equation to get like an answer of like what's going on. But at the root of it, ACOS is your ad spend divided by your ad sales. So basically, how much of the sales that I got from my ads did I have to spend? What percentage of that had to go to the actual ads, and then that's formulated as a percentage. So you just do that division problem, figure out the percentage. And the cool thing about ACOS is you can actually look at it in relation to your profit margin. So most sellers, if you're selling on Amazon, if you're selling anywhere, you should know your profit margins, really. And so if you know, hey, my profit margin is roughly 30%, then if my ACOS is 30%, I'm breaking even. If I have less than 30% ACOS, I'm profitable. Now, the segue to that is I am profitable on my ads alone. You really should be looking at everything in relation, but you know, you can kind of get those quick snapshots. It's easy to, and then Amazon displays it. So you don't have to go through and do the math problem. They say right here, here's your ACOS, and you can see ACOS at like virtually every single level in an account. And then, you know, that gives you good insights into how the ads, you know, at least how profitable they are.
Mm-hmm. And I love that. And you already like brought up a lot of things that had in my a list of questions, by the way. This is how we go. Yeah, so if you basically why I want to talk about this topic is because I know myself when I started, it's exactly what you were saying. Okay, I know my break-even cost. I know that if ACOS is high, I have to lower it, right? So those were my beginner starters, like, okay, these are the steps that I should take. Now, in today's episode, we are talking about ACOS and high ACOS and why sometimes a high ACOS actually makes sense, right? So on a tangent of that, I would ask if you like what reports to pull first off to analyze to see, okay, my ACoS, where it is, and how to deal with this ACoS is too high. Does it make sense for me to go for it or not?
That's going to be a hard one for me to answer without getting complicated, only because my brain has been like, how do I get, you know, my pain point and what I'm trying to work on right now, at least internally in our agency, is how do I look at an enormous amount of data and condense it in a way that allows me to at least know what to look and what action steps to take based on that. I think when you start, you know, at the beginning, you're like, okay, ACoS, and then you realize ACoS is division problem, right? So if your ACoS is spiking, either, you know, division problem, either the spend went up or the sales went down. Mm-hmm. Now that can happen in tandem, which is not so great. But beneath those two ones, you can start looking at, again, layers deeper. So my spend, we have another guest.
Sorry for our listeners. Our cat just like show appearance. Sorry for that. Yeah, please, so sorry, go on. Please, do you remember?
So the spend, so what you want to look at on the two ends of that equation are what influences those two numbers. So mm-hmm. my spend can be influences my cost per click. You know, did my cost per click go up? I'm trying to think now what I know. I have like a list. I have something I built out for the list. So it's going to be, let's see, cost per click going up. What other things influence spend? Like the amount of clicks going up. So mm-hmm. it could be like you have the same cost per click, but all of a sudden like impression spiked and all of your clicks spiked. So that could be an option. The other thing is like, maybe you just added, if you're looking at an account level, maybe I just add more campaigns. Maybe I added a lot more things into my account. And so therefore my spend went up. And then on the flip side of that, it could be, all right, so my sales equation, what influences sales? Sales can be influenced by like, say my conversion rate. Maybe your conversion rate dipped, that can cause a decrease in sales. If your conversion rate increases, you get an increase of sales. I don't have other ones. Now my mind is blanking. I literally have this beautiful graph that I plug something into and it gives me testing, all the numbers.
Testing, if you're like testing like campaigns, that's also like something when you're using, right? It's also can like spike.
Actually, ACoS. I can pull that up as I'm speaking.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, that'll be a fun graph to pull. But yeah, so I would say, you know, take a look at the two ends of like your equation, each piece, and then you can start seeing like, again, where do I go digging? So if my spend increased, maybe my cost per clicks went up. My cost per clicks went up either I had a high bid set and then like people move into the space. And so naturally my bids just go up just due to the auction factor, or maybe I launch a bunch of stuff with high bids, but now I know, hey, I probably should go take a look at my bids. If my clicks went up, then like, all right, so maybe I need to go take a look at my traffic. I'm getting more traffic somewhere. That traffic is not converting because if, you know, ACoS went up, if the clicks go up, ideally, you know, the sales would follow that. If you're seeing a spike in ACoS, the sales obviously didn't follow the clicks. Oh, order numbers, that was the other one. Mm-hmm. So you can have sales, but then you can have order numbers. And then the average order value, the reason why you want to calculate that would be if you've adjusted your price point, you know, so you decreased your price. Even if you still have like 30% margins of like $20 is going to be less than 30% margins, $25. So that's a factor. I should pull up my graph.
It's fine. No one sees it. So it's not shareable, but I love it. I love it. And I actually love it that it is this raw, because most of the time are like, you know, people are like, oh, this is what you're doing. No, there are so many things. They're like, it's not one thing. It's like so many things are affecting your ACoS, you know, even like, for example, in my case, one of the scenarios, I just like recently launched the product, five stars, and then the rating goes down. I get negative reviews and then ACoS spiked tremendously, you know, and what to do then.
Yes.
You know? So that's also something that you should look at. So definitely as you were saying, Elizabeth, it's not only one thing, but many things. And just like, I think it's strategy and also like know exactly, okay, on a campaign level, okay, what's happening there, or like to understand. And maybe it's just one keyword that has a high ACoS and that's just blowing up everything, or.
Yeah. No, definitely. I definitely think that is correct. And Yeah, so I have my graph up now. This is not, I'm going to preface this by saying this is not the only things you should look at that mm-hmm. have like, that will influence spend and sales, but these are like the main ones that I came up with. Mm-hmm. I have cost per clicks and number of campaigns with spend or on the spend side, meaning like that kind of counts if I have more campaigns in there. I didn't want to just count campaigns. You know, sometimes your campaigns will like drop off. They're not getting impressions anymore. That's going to decrease the number of campaigns with spend. So that was a metric. And then obviously conversion rates, number of orders, which kind of ties into conversion rates, but it's not always exactly the same. And then average order value are the, at least the the buckets I was looking at underneath the sales portion of that equation. And again, I'm sure that there's going to be some awesome users who are going to come up with some other cool metric. And I'm like, oh, that's so cool. I should add that. But that's kind of, there's a few of the buckets that I'm thinking, okay, so if I know what changed here, then I can see, all right, you know, so you look at the spend and sales equation. Okay, so spend went up, sales maintain, my issues on the spend. Let me take a look at what happened with spend. And then you could say, all right, so this happened, you know, and then start digging layers deeper into that.
Yeah, definitely. And for our viewers, for our listeners, if you're not watching this, please do so, because you clearly can see how she thinks, like she's like measuring things and like showing with hands. I love it. So I love that.
Speak with my hands.
You speak with your hands and you speak very well with your hands. So next part, right? ACoS is high. When do you define that that's a good thing for, I mean, obviously it's not a good thing, but it's break even. Let's say it's twice as or three times even, like it's higher than you could afford. When do you decide, hey, this is still the keyword I should go for and rank for, rather than when just cut it and say goodbye?
Yeah, so one huge thing that we do when we're looking at bids or anything else, we definitely look at the order numbers that are coming from, you can also do sales, but sales will be relative to the product. Mm-hmm. So any like a higher price product, you could get like 2 sales and it'll be equivalent to something else to get like 20 sales on like an $8 product. So I like to go off of order numbers, but then just see like how, because the more orders that are coming from that particular keyword, the more that particular keyword is affecting everything. Now, if you have like a high number of orders, but you have like a cost over like 100%, you know, unless you are like absolutely determining that this is something you need to rank on. And then your second question to be, am I ranking? Am I seeing a total sales lift in my account based on me ranking better for this keyword? Those would be the 2 questions I ask. But if this is not a keyword I've determined like it's super important, I probably would start walking that down. The other factor is if you do have a high amount of sales through something or orders, most likely it should correlate into be wanting the thing, one of the things that is eating up a lot of the spend in the account. So what I had seen in the past, and I think it's a logical thing to do, is to go into accounts and say, oh, what is spending the most? If my ACoS is high, I can decrease that spend side a bit easier than it is to decrease the sales side, because you know, sales, you can amp up stuff, but that could also influence ACoS rising. So, all right, let me just cut off what I have in my spend. So let's start by what's the most spend. And let me just start chopping stuff there. And if I do, that will have a bigger impact in the total account. And while that is logical, I think one of the things I've kind of come to the conclusion, not that I shouldn't do that, but I should be careful when doing that, because I've noticed if you do decrease bids, most times that comes at the expense of sales. And that's just a trade-off you have to make. That's kind of why I originally said, like, is it worth it to do this? Because if you decrease your spend in your bids, there is a competitor that is willing to pay the higher bid for that. So they will win the sale or win the visibility and then ideally win the sale. If you're not willing to pay that, that's fine. Just make that determination. But what the market tells you, you need to put a bid to, you know, show up on page one is what you need to put a bid at to show up on page one. There's no like secret hack. You can play with placement percentages and all these fun things, but the difference is going to be marginal. It'll help something that's working. It's not going to fix something that's not working. So yeah, you just need to kind of make that determination, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is interesting. And giving a backstory for something very explicit and like happening to me, for example, it's like you were saying that it's a keyword for your ranking for example. Back when I started my account, I also set up a a lot of broad campaigns as well. And now what I see, even after 2 years, my broad campaigns are still bringing way more traffic than the exact campaigns. But there also, it's kind of tricky because, yes, the broad campaigns are there and you also will see the search terms that customer actually purchased the product for. But when you are going for that exact term, it's not converting into organic sales. So what would you say there, for example?
So I am in the test all match types crowd, you know, would definitely run broad match. However, I do recognize that there is a definite benefit to exact match and that like you can be super pinpointed and like, I want to spend for X, I'm going to spend for X. And, you know, it is difficult to scale broad match keywords. It can be done. But I'll be honest, it's risky. So you might have something like it, maybe your product is very slow in Q1 and the search volume just kind of decreases. Some products, that's like a normal progression. So you might say, hey, everything's going great. My cost per clicks are like really low. Let me amp up the broad match. Well, Q4, all of a sudden, like all this traffic comes in and like, it's not working really great. And you're like, what happened? It was amazing. And it's just because there was an increase in traffic to that keyword. And because the nature of broad match, if you have a high bid on a broad match, Amazon will most likely spend a lot, which is fine, but it can create issues if like you're trying to rank and scale through a broad match keyword. So I do recognize that there's a benefit of like having your anchor keywords in an exact match and be very specific with that. I don't know if there's like an ultimate fix. I'm also a fan of like, if it's not broke, don't fix it. So if it's working in a broad match, kind of let it work. I would probably just start running it in tandem with the exact match, kind of seeing if you can navigate that. I've tried to force that switch before for the worse. So you can test it, but just be ready to like take off that negative match if you need to.
Yep. And also to pay like a lot of money, like double at least sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a really good tip. And also what I noticed with broad matches, now we are just going on a tangent, not talking about ACoS anymore, but I think it's worth mentioning with broad matches, what I noticed, I came up on a lot of keywords, relevant keywords, but I was not between like top 10. It's like top 50, let's say, you know, so it's bringing you up, you know, but it's like, you're not going, as you were saying, as for something specific. So just if this is, for example, your strategy, dear listener, just to know that, okay, what Elizabeth was saying, it's, hey, if you want to go for it, you will have to pay for it. So there you go.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's kind of the name of the game. I think the trick is not so much like how you set up the, yes, there's best practices. Yes, you should know how like all the pieces kind of work. But it's really understanding like where you need to spend the money. Like I said, there's not any super hack. You know, if you want to do a ranking campaign, exact match, high bid, maybe a small top of search percentage. I wouldn't go crazy with it. And just see what it takes to sit there and see what your numbers are and adjust from there. I mean, that's kind of the trick, is the adjustment and then picking which keywords to go after, I think.
Yeah, definitely. And this is the thing about also this topic. I had the pleasure to have also Michael of Advager on the show, and we were also talking about like ACoS and high ACoS. And this is, he was seeing the summer of like extremely like high ACoSes, you know. And I also noticed that on my account, and I also noticed from other sellers like saying, hey, it's 20%, 30% like higher the ACoS. So if we're taking that and we are taking also the information, hey, if the ACoS is bringing you sales, and even if it's high, when would you say it's, you know, when to stop or when to go forward, or because you also have to make profit on your product. So when would it be that,
yes,
you know, it's hard because you want to rank for those keywords, but in the same time, you lose money, you know? So what would your advice be there?
That's a tricky one. And to be honest, I don't make that determination mostly because I defer to my brands and, you know, my sellers I'm running ads for. So if we are spending a lot on ads, like I had a particular account where they said, hey, let's go after the top keyword. Our stuff is really good. It was a very high price product. The top of search click in the beginning when we started was like $15. It was very expensive. And I asked the question like 10 times, are you sure you want to do this? I can build it. Are you sure? Like, you know, so really you want, again, tracking keywords is huge. I think there's a lot of good keyword trackers out there. Helium 10 is one that we use. There's some other really cool ones. Keyword trackers are amazing for trends. I don't use them so much for like day-to-day, you know, cause you'll go in and you'll say like, oh, I'm top two. And then you go on Amazon. You're like, wait, I'm like, you know, spot five. It's not exact, but it will give you a good idea of how you're trending in the marketplace. So if you have, like, if you are being very strategic and like tolerating very high A costs on a certain thing, you do want to look at that. And then the other thing I would look at is your total A costs. So we didn't quite cover that. A cost is your ad spend divided by your ad sales. It's referred to as total A costs. Some people call it actual A costs. I know Michael has like a very special name for it that's weird and I can never remember, but it is your ad spend.
Something with T also. Oh, yeah, or something.
Actual, actual cost of total sales, maybe?
Yes, I don't remember. Something, yeah.
Anyways, that's a good number for the relation of your ad spend to like your entire account. So for instance, if you're like, oh my goodness, my A cost is like 80%, 100%, I am not profitable at all. But if you, for instance, if you calculated your total A cost, it is entirely possible to have a total A cost of like 8%. If your margins are 30% on your entire account and you're running at an 8% total A cost, your account's profitable. Your ads technically in isolation are not profitable, but your total account is profitable. So maybe at that point you can make the determination, okay, so my total A cost is actually profitable. I am seeing a lift in my total sales. So you want to be tracking like, what are your total sales looking like? And even though I'm spending a lot on this one, I'm still overall profitable. So I'm fine with it. The hard one to navigate, and again, I'm kind of glad I defer to it for my brands, is if you are running very aggressive ads and your total A cost is like unprofitable and your ad, you know, your ad A cost is unprofitable, that gets into tricky territory. Now, if you first start out, if you have no reviews, you know, ideally you've differentiated your product, that in the beginning, you know, I don't think anyone expects to get to any business, regardless if it's Amazon or anywhere else, and say, I'm going to be profitable from day one. It doesn't happen. So you should ideally have done like good product research. You should know, you know, where you fit in the market and differentiated. All that stuff always comes first before ads, super important. But then, you know, just try. I have heard from brand owners that ideally, you know, I think second reorder, they try and be about, you would know more than about this than me, about like, at what point do you expect to be profitable in your ads or not ads in your like account overall?
Like marketing strategy, like, for example, I do agree with what you were saying. Also, I see that it depends a lot if you already have a list of people who are already are buying, or it's your second product in the same niche or third, fourth product, mm-hmm. then it's way easier to not spend so much on PPC. I mean, you will spend on PPC, but usually what you're doing, you're also going to imply this search by buy techniques somehow. So also mm-hmm. that's like going to reduce your CPC rather than it would be normally. So besides what you were saying, this is something that it's like also happening.
Yeah, that's definitely true. That's definitely true. One other interesting math equation, if you're looking at like the impact of a specific keyword on your total account, because that's where it gets tricky when you're spending so much on this ranking keyword that it's kind of like bringing your overall account metrics down. So you're seeing like a definite rise in A cost. One thing you can calculate is the percentage impact of a like single keyword, or you could do like a single product ads if you have a way to easily determine that on the total ad sales for the account. So you would, or in this case, you might do spend. You can also do sales is another good one. So you basically take, what did I spend on this particular product, this particular keyword, and you could divide that across your total spend in your entire account. You know, make sure you're looking at the same date ranges. And that will say like, how much of a percentage impact is this having on my account? Like if you have a keyword that has like a really high percentage impact and your A cost is very high, it's going to naturally just affect more in the account. That kind of goes back to like how many orders are you getting through a keyword? How much, you know, statistical significance does this one thing have to my entire account? Because it's very possible if you have a large account, a well-run account, to have certain keywords that are doing like really high ACoS, but the overall account looks amazing. If you, it's trickier if you have like a brand new product and you only have one product, because sometimes you can absorb costs from maybe like new launches, you know, going back to what you said, if you have like additional products that are doing well, you've already gained profitability, you have those resources to direct to your other ranking, where in the beginning, you know, you should have some funds or some investments that's, you know, that's the nest egg. And then ideally you're investing it for future returns.
Yeah, definitely. Something that I notice on my end and also hear people saying, it's, if you're targeting, for example, because we're talking about ACoS, brand defense and offense, right? Mm-hmm. So the two like main things that you should be aware of. What I see now newly is that brand defense, it's at least 2 times higher than it was before. Basically, if you are going to bid and you want to have, for example, a sponsor ad to be there, right? Underneath the buy box, for example, it's not anymore $1, it's $4, $5. You know, and it's like, I'm curious to see if you've seen also this, like in your experience, and there's also a high ACoS there. So what would the strategy be? Should you still defend your brand? Should you not? Should you like how would you handle that?
I would say yes, if you can absorb the cost, I would, because if you don't, your competitor is going to come in and then take your traffic and, you know, you through having a very good product or some, you know, something that people are returning for. If you have replenishable products, you should be determining that that's worth it, because if it's replenishable, ideally people are coming back and you have them in your ecosystem. If you're, you know, the shopper comes back and says, oh, I haven't tried this brand before because I don't feel like scrolling to down the page to find this guy, clicks on your competitor, said, oh, this one's just as good, he's 2 cents cheaper, and then they go and find their last order in their account and, you know, start getting into your, so if you have replenishable products, that's, you know, I would say that it's probably worth it to pay a little bit more for that traffic. You know, the other factor could be like, if you have a high priced item and, you know, someone said, hey, it's really good, I referred, you know, someone to it, and then they're going to go try and find your product, you probably want to be showing up. I mean, ideally, if you are branded, you should have some presence on your organic, or your own branded search terms. But yeah, that's definitely something, I would see. And then for the other, you know, everybody else who doesn't fall into those categories, I would just say, again, it's kind of like weigh the costs, you know, if you have like insanely high ACoS on your branded terms, check to see if your brand is related to some sort of other generic like search. That gets really tricky for brands that like what their brand name is also related to some sort of search term. So they're getting other traffic that's not technically branded. That one gets, you know, you might have that issue. But yeah,
that's interesting. I would just say, how do you detect that, or what's the strategy there? I haven't heard this like concept before, so.
Yeah, so you would just look at the search term reports and you could determine it. Ideally, if you have your branded campaigns named correctly, or maybe you have them in a portfolio, you should be able to like sort, say, okay, what's my branded stuff? And you could just take a look, say, all right, so what's showing up under my branded stuff? Is there something that like doesn't even make sense for my product? Or maybe it added another word that made it no longer my branded term. I would just say, check that. It doesn't always happen. It's not guaranteed to happen, but I have seen that happen enough. Like when you see poor metrics for your branded terms, I would just take a look at that.
That's a really good tip that I wasn't aware of. See, at least for that tip, it worked. It. I'm just kidding around. You're amazing. Elizabeth, is there something that I should have been asked about this topic that I haven't, or something that it's very often coming, like questions, people are coming with questions to you about this topic that you feel that, hey, this is the way how to do it, or hey, think about this aspect as well.
Yeah, I don't think it's a question like, oh, it should have been asked. It's kind of a different perspective on kind of weighing the costs and high ACoS. And it kind of goes back to what I said about tracking. If you're ranking, would be like determining keywords that you can win on is going to be really important in the beginning and will save you a lot of hurt. So I would recommend in the beginning, when you're picking your ranking keywords, when you have no data. If you are looking, like, you can look at your current data, and instead of saying, oh, I got to go find this new stuff, it's like, what's working? What can I just give some, like, extra lift to? And, you know, go about that. That's honestly the best and the easiest thing to do. But if you're starting from scratch, I probably wouldn't go after the top keywords in the space. If you are, first off, like, a little bit unsure where your product fits, or if you don't have, like, really high budgets allocated for your ad spend and have determined, like, I'm totally cool with, like, very high costs. Like, you know, if there's some spaces, it's like over 100,000 search volume. That's probably not going to happen. Even if you have the largest budget in the world, that's going to be a very hard fought battle. So I would, in the beginning, prioritize relevancy over search volume. You still want to get decent search volume enough that you can actually be seen. That is a factor, but I would take a look at relevancy. Relevancy just means, like, if someone's typing this into search, it is exactly my product. If I'm selling, like, a pink rubber exterior metal water bottle, and I can find a keyword with decent search volume that speaks exactly to what that shopper is looking for, you know, that would be something I would be like, hey, this is golden. That's always, like, the fun ones to find when you're doing keyword research. You're like, oh, this is exactly the product. And then if you are not converting well on keywords that speak directly to your shopper, then, you know, there's probably some sort of product misalignment or something else you can, you know, you can tweak.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. I love it. So if our listeners listen to that, please take care. Okay. And something that, I would like to end on. Okay, someone listen to this episode and say, okay, what's the first thing to do? How to start? How do I define that these ACoS worth going for, and these other campaigns, I just lower my budget on it and just, like, let them be. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think my question, does it make sense? My question, like, what's the first step that someone should do now? Okay, that they know about this, what should they look at, basically?
Yeah, so I'm trying to determine what would be the easiest way, like, what's an easy way to find this, because it would honestly be what I said before. If you are already running ads and you have some things that are getting, if you can get something with good sales, your conversion rate is really good. I would look at good conversion rate, good click-through rate, and then good overall metrics. You should be able to just bump up those bids, see where you're sitting. You know, ideally you can get some sort of top of search, like high visibility, and then just see if you can influence better orders and then track your ranking. That's going to be the easiest thing to do. The other really cool report you can pull for this, not to make anything super complicated, is there's something called a search term impression share report. So I would look at a sponsored product search term impression report. This will look at a search term level. So, you know, you'll kind of have to make that determination at a keyword level. But that will give you insights into where you're showing up on the page. And so if you have something that, like, has really good conversions, really good click-through rate, numbers look amazing, but I don't have... there's a search term impression rank column. It's like 1, 2, and, like, goes down from there. So if you're like, hey, I'm like 3 on the search term, you know, impression rank, but these numbers are phenomenal, maybe I should just go amp up those bids or see if I can get better placement there, because I already know I convert. I already know it works. Let's just push it. That's, like, the easiest, the best thing to do. And then if you're starting from scratch, I would say, you know, look at relevancy. That's going to be huge.
Definitely. And if you already, like, started before and it's just, like, not your first product, let's say, like, in my case, for example, here the advice would be, okay, look at those keywords, bring those keywords, like, in front. Okay, those are the ones that are bringing sales. What's to do with the other campaigns, because I'm assuming that everyone also has a budget, so let's say 200 300 500 whatever budget you have per day, $10, if that's your budget, that is your budget, you know. So how to deal with, okay, I'm not allocating any more budgets to the other companies, or what's the strategy there?
So I would say it depends on how tight your budget is. So if you have, like, $10, you probably just need to be very, very specific with where you spend it. Be very careful. So in that case, you're like, I can only put it here. It takes me $10 to show up top of search on these keywords. That's all I got. If you have, like, maybe a little bit more robust budget, I wouldn't necessarily recommend on turning everything off, like, around it. I have seen that work to the detriment, just because, so if you advertise very aggressively on certain keywords, it does kind of have this halo effect where you do like rank for other keywords associated with it. That does happen. It's not a guarantee. And then if you push, like if you're only pushing like say three keywords and you're only performing kind of okay on one of them, you're not really getting as much of that halo benefit. And then if you completely turn everything off, you know, the amount of places you're actually showing up and your visibility decrease, yes, and you can't see a decrease in like top line sales. And so a lot of times people are like, I'm not working with ads, and they'll turn ads off. And you're like, why is my total sales like cut to 50%? This is not cool. Yep. So I would recommend, it depends on how far off your targets are as well. So if I'm like, I'm overall, my account is running at 100% ACoS and my margins are like 20%. Maybe you should just go pause a bunch of those 100% keywords that only have like maybe a handful of sales that aren't really working. You know, you can, I'm always a fan of doing things in layers. So like determine like what's the worst stuff, weed it out. How does that change? How does my spend change? How does my ACoS change? All right, round two. And then in flux with all of this, you should have some sort of routine bid optimization process, mm-hmm. which you should be going through ideally at least weekly, you know, just at least giving everything a once over, a little tweak. That will be good to move yourself towards those targets. And then if you're like, hey, I just need to like really weed stuff out, get the bottom rung, high clicks, no sales, get them out of there. Again, bid should be optimized on those, but you can like make that chop. All right. So that's, you know, and then, okay. All right. So what's like my high A cost, only like say 1 to 2 sales, maybe 3 sales. That will be in there's always an and, like 1 to 2 sales is going to be relative to your account. So if your conversion rates are lower and for most keywords, you're only getting 1 to 2 sales, then, you know, again, back to statistical significance, those are kind of still kind of important to you, where if you have keywords that are doing like 15 sales, 10 sales, like a lot of sales, and then you got like those 1 or 2, maybe 3, and you're like, I can sacrifice those couple sales for better metrics, you know, get those ones out of here, and then just kind of keep working your way up the list.
Yeah, definitely. Something that I also like would like to add there, that's I tried as well, not necessarily pausing the campaigns, but lowering the bid is like so low that you barely show up. And if you really do show up for them, it's still like win for you. So that's also something that I played around with. Something that I also played around with and failed like tremendously, it's exactly the topic that we are talking about today. It was like how to lower my bid and even lower until I cut all my sales. So people don't do the same mistakes that I am doing. This is why we have here like a pro to teach you. Not like that. So
Elizabeth. No, that's definitely a good point on lowering the bids. I really like that one. That's one we use. And it also can be used as a marker. So for instance, if you have keywords in your account, you've probably done keyword research to find those keywords. Mm-hmm. And for top keywords, it might just be a point that this is not the time to go after them. Maybe your reviews in relation to your competitors is not all that great. So, hey, I'm going to put like an 11 cent bid, something weird, like 7 cents or whatever it is that's like really low. And then you say, hey, I know all of my keywords. If I'm going through a campaign, I'm like, why are all these 7 cents? Oh yeah, that's what I did. You know, it's also a marker versus like, if you just go through and pause everything, you're like, okay, was this just absolute garbage or did I not test it enough? So I like that advice a lot. Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Yay. I added this. It feels good. All right. So finishing on a fun note, I think I love to ask my guests, as you already been my guest, you know, these like roasting questions of mine. I have a new one today. It's called, if you would have a superpower, which one would be it?
Oh, goodness. I might have changed it in the past, but as of right now, probably like one where you can learn things super fast or knowledge base.
Okay.
Like, I would absolutely love, if I had the time to sit in a hole for 3 months and not do anything else, I would love to learn how to use SQL language, like coding databases, tables, schemas. I want to learn it. I just lack the time. I'll have to just hire it out. But if I could have a way to like learn things quickly, that I would like that superpower. That would be a good one.
There's the appeal for it. Like there's a movie called Limitless, you know, where the guy's like,
I have not watched that one. I need to. My husband mentioned it the other day.
Really good.
Oh, that sounds cool.
Yeah, I have to watch it. Good. So it's like the full potential of your brain. Then it's really like, wow, it's amazing. So I certainly hope that that should be in a coffee, you know, daily coffee.
There you go. As if we weren't addicted to coffee enough.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. So to be super respectful of your time, I'm still going to ask for 3 books. And this is one of the books that she recommended me. It's called Working Backwards. It's really, really good. I haven't started it, but she said that it's good, so I believe her. Okay, yeah, now you go.
It's written by ex-Amazon executives, I think, who built a lot of the things. And it actually goes through and explains. And I'm like, oh, that's why none of the teams know what the other one's doing. It's by design. Actually, they built it. So I was like, okay, that makes sense. But yeah, it's got some really interesting frameworks and way to look at things. And I found myself reading that one and sitting back and like thinking like, oh yeah, that's how, and like you get a lot of like spark ideas through that. All right, let's see. This is the book I'm going through, $100 million Offer by Alex Hormozi. If you are an entrepreneur, like that type of stuff, I don't know how he doesn't have like 6 bajillion followers on YouTube, but he's been putting out like so many videos and they are all amazing. So I would totally check that out. And then I still think I'll go back to the classic. I think I mentioned it last time, like How to Make Friends and Influence People. I think it's always a good way to, I'm sure there's other books out there that help you like frame things in a way. Mm-hmm.
It's everything there though. It's really like step by step, everything is there. Everything makes sense. You know, it's like really, this is how human beings are working. So
yes, I like that one.
Yeah. Dale Carnegie, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All right. So these are your 3 books, or wait, but because this time I also helped you out. So
you should. Yes. No, that would be what I would mention. That would be what I mentioned.
All right. So it was an absolute pleasure to have you on the show as always. How can people get a hold of you, say hello, find out more about you and your services?
Yeah. So if you're interested in services, the best way to find me is at the website. So jungler.com. There is an intake form at the bottom and I'm still in charge of that. So I will see every single request that comes through. Get in touch with me, book a consultation, see how we can help. And then if you're just interested in like following content or like what I've been doing, I have been trying to be really active on Facebook, but I have not been as active as I normally am, but definitely LinkedIn. I'm more active on LinkedIn. I try and post like insightful things or ideas, or if I find something new, a new button, I'm definitely going to post about it. And then we do have a YouTube channel. Mm-hmm. I'm mostly doing bulk files. So if you ever wanted to know like what's a bulk file, how do you use it, tips and tricks for that, definitely can go check that out. And I think if you search Amazon PPC bulk files, we come up.
I think I'm pretty certain that you are. This is how I found you, by the way. This is how I actually got to in contact with you, because I was looking into like bulk files, and yeah, she's your go-to girl. So definitely check her stuff out. All right. It was a pleasure having you on the show, as I was saying.
Yes, very much.
And for everyone listening, thank you so much for your time. These are the absolute amazing trips of Elizabeth and mine as well. Hopefully I'm also taking credit. There you go. I brought up 1 point and I'm taking credit. All right.
That's so awesome.
It's fine. So thank you so much for listening, and see you next Monday.
See you.